Do we follow the Jesus of the Bible? Or do we follow an idealized picture of Jesus? The philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard put it in much more strident terms. He said, "The matter is quite simple. The Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we're obligated to act accordingly. Take any words from the New Testament and forget everything except pledging yourself to act accordingly. My God, you will say, if I do that, my whole world and my whole life will be ruined. How could I ever get on in the world?" The problem is, you see, it is easier to idealize or idolize Jesus, to admire and to worship Him, than it is to follow Him. And so that is what we usually do. First thing we do is we idealize Him. We set Him up as an ideal that can never be achieved. We place Him so far above us that we can't even get close. We put Him on such a high pedestal of admiration that we know that we will never be able to do what He did or live the way He lived. That was Jesus, we say. I mean, I'm not Jesus. He was perfect. I mean, after all, I can't be expected to act like Him. And so what we do is we make Him into a spiritual Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger, in his prime, was the best golfer in the world. He was on track to become the best golfer who ever played the game. It was said by other professionals that when Tiger was having a good tournament, he'd win by 10 strokes. And when Tiger was having a bad tournament, he'd only win by 5. Most golfers would have loved to be able to play golf like Tiger Woods. But then we look at what it costs to be able to play like that. Even if you start off with an ocean of talent, you have to start playing when you're 3 years old. You have to give yourself 100% to the game. You have to practice 8 to 10 hours a day until you've accumulated 10,000 swings with each club. You have to take lessons and more lessons and more lessons. You have to think golf. You have to eat golf. You have to sleep golf. And then if you have talent, you get to play on your college team. And if you do well in college and on the amateur tour and the minor tour, maybe you'll get to college. And then maybe you'll make it to the PGA where you can drive yourself to tournaments and sleep in the back of your car and eat in McDonald's and hope that you can catch a caddy for the next tournament. And then, when you've paid your dues, maybe you get to be good enough to be one of those rank players so you can just wake up early in the morning and go out and hit 3 buckets of balls every day before you tee off. And on and on and on it goes until you realize that you really don't want to play golf like Tiger Woods at all. What we want to do is admire the way he played the game and go on playing the game the way we do. We idealize him. That's Tiger Woods. The ideal in golfing. An ideal that I have neither the talent nor the inclination to achieve for myself. An ideal that is just out of reach for people like me. Normal, semi-talented, quasi-committed guffers like me. And that's what we do to Jesus. We admire him, and then we count the cost of living our lives the way he lived his. And we say, no, thank you. Rather than following him and doing what he says and does, we choose to idealize him. We admire the way he lived, and then we go right on living as we always have. We become fans rather than disciples. Or we idolize him. You know, idolization is idealization taken to its logical extreme. And still, instead of admiring him, we worship him. We put his picture on our walls and we speak of him in hushed tones. We affix little statues of him to crosses and then we hang him in our churches or around our necks. We call to him in prayer. We sing songs about him, old and new. We undertake activities in his name. We're always invoking a blessing upon them and we tack his name certainly onto the end of every one of our prayers. We talk about our walk with him and our personal relationship with him and we tell stories about him and we make dolls and statues of him. In short, we do anything except follow him. Famed pianist Oscar Levant used to say that people would say to him, "Oh, I'd give anything to be able to play like you do." Then he would say, "Oh, but you can play like I do." Then he would explain to them what it would take. The hours of practice, years of study, the lifetime of dedication. And they would become angry and they would accuse him of being rude. Oh, you see, they did want to play like he played. But they didn't want to pay what he had paid. We all want to admire Jesus, to hold him up as an ideal, to idolize him and to worship him. We just don't want to follow him. You see, the problem is that nowhere in the gospel accounts does Jesus ever ask anyone, ever, to admire him. The phrase, "admire me," does not appear in the New Testament. Neither does "idealize me" or "idolize me." Jesus used the term "love me" only twice. They both appear in the Gospel of John and they're followed by admonitions telling his disciples what to do. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, feed my sheep." The phrase "worship me" only appears three times. Once in each gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it wasn't spoken by Jesus. No, it was spoken by Satan in his efforts to tempt Jesus. Jesus asks his followers to believe him only five times, and three of those are in John, The other two are in Matthew and Mark. The thing that Jesus asks us to do most often, the commandment that he utters more than any other, 20 times in the four Gospels, is not admire me, not believe in me, not worship me, not sing about me, not even love me. It's follow me. Follow me. Do as I do. Walk where I walk. Go where I go. Relate as I relate. Talk as I talk. Follow me. This is the call of the gospel. To sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow Jesus. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Take up your cross and come and follow me. And for most of us, that's fine as long as we understand it in that safe, sort of detached, metaphorical way. Again, Kierkegaard puts it in more strident terms. To want to admire instead of follow Christ is not an invention of bad people. No, it is more an invention of those who spinelessly want to keep themselves detached at a safe distance from Jesus. But it's not to be detached or metaphorical or safe or understanding. It is rather to be called by Jesus to be on the spiritual frontier of our lives. If we follow him, really follow him, that means we're going to have to take a different set of risks, and we are going to have to live at the edge of our spiritual resources, our mental and spiritual and emotional and physical resources. It means we're going to have to start forgiving people who treat us badly and loving our enemies, even those who would undo us. It means that we're going to have to be forgiving and self-sacrificing, that we're going to have to be and give up what we want, what makes us happy, what makes us comfortable and satisfied for the sake of others. It means that we are going to have to invest ourselves in the cause of the poor and the powerless. If we follow him, it means we have to start doing for others with no expectation of getting anything in return. It means that we have to start loving people who are hard to love and helping people who may not appreciate our help. It means we have to be willing to suffer falls and failures and defeat and death, all for the sake of the kingdom. Following Jesus is demanding business, to be sure. But it's not all demand. Rewards are promised as well. If we follow Jesus, Scripture tells us, he will lead us to that place of living waters, to that place where life is more real, more authentic, more vibrant, more exciting than we ever imagined possible. Hang gliders and base jumpers will have nothing on us. Mountain climbers and extreme skiers and daredevils will stand in awe as we pass by. And people of every faith and every nation will point to us and say in wonder, these are the people of God. These are they who live in the kingdom of everlasting life. These These people are the ones who truly, truly follow Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.